Hi, this is Eric, and you are listening to For Colored Nerds. Brittany is on vacation this week, but I'm still here, and I sat down with Lola from Mm-hmm Girl, and we had a great conversation talking about reality TV. But before I throw you into that conversation, I want to tell you about something big. I want to tell you about our first live show. That's right, For Colored Nerds Live, Thursday, July 14th. If you're in the New York area, come visit us at WNYC's The Green Space. We'll be there with special guests, Ashley Ford and Van Newkirk. It's going to be everything you know and love from our show, but taken to the max, it's going to be lit. So if you want tickets to that show, you can go to our website, forcolorednerds.com. We'll have a link. It'll be right there and pretty on the front page. Just click that link and then click buy tickets to come out and see us and join the conversation. If you have any questions, you can always reach out to us on Twitter, and we hope to see you there. Now, here's the show. Should we do the intro?
Welcome to For Colored Nerds. I'm not Brittany.
Yes, and I am not Eric. I mean, I'm Eric. No, I actually am Eric.
I'm Eric.
You are Lola.
I'm Lola from Mm-hmm Girl.
Yes, and as you might know, because Brittany's been talking about like the last like six episodes.
Yeah, she's on vacation.
She is on vacation.
Yes, I've been following her adventures on Instagram, and honestly, she looks like she's been having the time of her life.
Yeah, she's been living. She's been trying to troll me through our group text. There's some gentleman who is running for Puerto Rican office, and he had like white frames that like vaguely looked like something I would wear, and he was bald and had a beard. She's like, oh, Eric, I didn't know you was running for office out here. I'm like, you are literally the worst just because that looks nothing like me. But that said, in Brittany's absence, I am so glad to have you here, Lola.
Thank you.
I'm so
happy to be here in a real studio.
Well,
fancy.
I feel like, from what I hear, it's similar quality. We don't have Ike.
We don't have Ike. And our studio setup is like very hood. So,
I mean, it's all good. Whatever gets you there.
This is fancy.
So we're enjoying some really good water. We've been talking about things I like to talk about that we don't get to talk about a lot on the show. That's reality TV. Lola came in and showed me this wonderful video that I felt so uninformed from not having seen before, but it was from The Real World. I'll let you, like, set it up.
They don't talk about reality TV very much on For Colored Nerds, but on Mm-hmm Girl, we talk about that often. So Eric mentioned to me that he really liked reality TV, and so I asked him if he had been up on The Real World, the latest iteration or season, which is in Vegas, but for some reason it's titled Real World, Go Big or Go Home.
Yeah, I think
that's it.
Yeah, it's like challenges or something.
It's the real world.
Yeah.
But road rules challenges.
Yeah.
But it's still the real world.
Which is weird. Because they still have road rules challenge. Like, that still exists.
Right. They didn't, like, mesh them into one. So this is it's an odd season.
Yeah.
It's an odd season. But on this particular season, per the usual, seven people living in a house, finding out what happens when you keep it real, whatever.
Do they keep it real? do they?
When keeping it real goes wrong.
Yeah, basically.
I don't know. And so, also per the usual, the real world has almost always been like five white people.
Yeah.
And
usually
at
six
at max. Yeah, at maximum, you get two black people or two people of color even.
Yeah.
Like, if the real world wanted to be outlandish and fun and, like, exciting or reinvent itself, it needs to be, like, five black people.
It needs to be College Hill.
Yes.
I mean, if the real world wanted to,
it needs to be five black people and two white people.
Exactly.
Like, that's how you need to mix it up. You don't make the real world and give them road rules challenges. You need to spice it up a bit.
Yeah. So, or make it like Mad Real World from Chappelle Show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's another better format for the show.
That would be a much better format. I agree. So on this one, and this particular, this is the season finale, actually. They've chopped it down to just 13 episodes now. Like, I feel like the real world used to last a year long, but now I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely seems like they, it used to seem like they were there for like 6 months.
Yeah, it seemed like they were there forever.
Yeah, but now I think, I mean, I think it's like maybe like just a few months.
Like maybe it's like 3 weeks.
It's probably like 3 weeks. It's like a 2 week vacation.
Right.
Yeah.
On this particular episode, on the finale that we're talking about, CJ, which is spelled CEEJAI.
Yes.
Jenkins. That's her name. CJ is being provoked by Jenna. Jenna is a white girl from South Carolina. They had been hanging out the night before, and Jenna's friends had been making some very sly, low-key, kind of like racist, homophobic remarks about the other housemates. And the racist remarks were pointed towards CJ. They called her ratchet and made a, like, really off-brand comment about how, like, she needed to go pick some cotton.
That's not sly. That's pretty overt.
But they were saying it, but they weren't, like, saying it to her.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm going to tell you this, Jenna, and I'm going to say it in a slightly hushed tone, not really hushed. I'm just going to say this.
Yeah.
And I know there's a possibility that they can overhear me, but I don't really care that much.
I mean, that's the wonders of privilege.
Right.
It's like an invisibility cloak.
Right. The incredible thing about this is that all of the other white people in the house are like incredibly woke.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like
Which is rare.
And they're like 10 times more offended.
Yeah.
It's like their reactions to like being offended is kind of what sets CJ off.
Yeah. Because
it seems like she kind of would have let that shit slide. But the other white people were so offended on her behalf. It was just like, nah, bruh, can't let you slide.
Like, I feel like if you are a white person on like any level of the woke spectrum, you can't be on national TV out here, like even subtly condoning
racism.
No. You know, they're going to get you out the paint, you know? So you're like, if I see this, I'm like, oh, I have to go all in.
Right.
I mean, in general, white people are like, if something goes wrong, oh, I'm going to write a letter. We're going to like start a petition, you know? So like they already got to take it to the
going
max.
To Yelp, leaving one-star reviews.
Exactly. I mean, they were pressed. Like she, you know. She's CJ Jenkins.
Right.
Like, she probably done run into some bullshit before.
By the way, like, Jenkins is by far the blackest last name you could possibly have.
So it's like Jenkins, Johnson, maybe, you know, Brown. I think those are kind of
I
like
just feel like
three.
I've yet to meet a white person with the last name Jenkins.
I don't think they exist.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think Jenkins is top tier, like, black name, for sure.
Definitely.
So these comments happen, and then Jenna goes on in the phone booth room or whatever, and she's video conferencing with her friends, and they're just, like, kind of reinforcing it.
Yeah.
And Jenna's like, you guys know they think that I'm a total racist now because of what you guys said. They think I'm, like, even more of a racist. And she's, like, kind of just joking about it. And while she's in the middle of this video conference, the actual telephone rings, and it's another housemate's mom on the phone. And so she gets on the phone, and she's, like, talking. And then Jenna was like, yeah, you know, they think I'm really racist now. And then the other girl has to stop her conversation with her mom. And she's like, okay, but actually you are. And so they get in an argument with the mom on the phone. And the girl's all like, no, fuck you. You fucking mom, I'm going to call you back.
Which is amazing, too, because, like...
Love you, Mom.
Yeah. If I ever talk like that, like, within earshot of my mom,
right.
Like, it would have been over.
She would have FaceTimed you to slap you. Like,
yeah.
It's just... No. So that then escalates to this beating, essentially. CJ is finally just realizing, like, you know, she called her a bunch of stupid bitches, dumb bitches, and she's just realizing, you know, like... You really are ignorant. You need to take more responsibility and at least own up to it. Like, you can't even own up to it. And you would never talk to me like that. I've lived around you. You've never said ratchet. You would never say any of those things to me to my face. But when you get on...
You get in front of your friends.
You get in front of your friends, it's a different situation.
Yeah.
And she, you know, poor Jenna, she really did try to verbally defend herself.
Verbally is the operative word.
And at that point, CJ was just pretty much sick of her shit. And hauled off on that ass, so.
Yeah, I mean, it was, like, real straight, like, UFC Muay Thai. Like, she got on top of her and just hit her with the, like, combo move.
She really did. Jenna, as a result, you didn't see that, but she has a black eye.
I wouldn't be surprised she had, like, a few. She got worked. Like, she really got worked. And the thing about it is, like, it was clear that CJ was clearly overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed.
Like, yeah, like, she just didn't know. Like, I can't even imagine being in that situation. So it's like basically, I mean, what you describe is like 2 days of just like white folks really coming for you.
But it's not even like white folks. It's that it's this one particular white person. It's this one. This one. Because everyone else kind of has CJ back. And everyone else is also sick of Jenna shit.
Yeah.
But somehow this, like, she just keeps aggravating the situation.
And being in that environment, like, so... I was watching Black-ish, and they were talking about, it was an episode, sorry, spoiler. Andre thought he was going to lose his job, and he was like, I just don't want to be in front of all these white folks and, like, have something bad happen to me. You know, you're trying to, like, perform and, like, keep it going. You want to be on point.
You want to be the good, respectable Negro.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Especially because it's only two of you there.
Right.
The other black dude was just, like, on the hoverboard, like, rolling around, you know? So, like, she was trying to, like, keep it together. And then you realize not only can I just not hold this in anymore, but like I've been disrespected consistently for like two fucking days. Like, what do you do with that when you also can't retreat from the camera watching you? You
know? Right.
That shit was really intense. So, yeah, like when Jenna came to her and basically continuing to pop off, like you said, had no remorse.
Nope.
Was like not pressed at all.
She was like, okay, then, bitch. And CJ was like, I got your bitch.
Yeah, she was like, that's the last one. You got it. Are you ready? Let's go. And that was the end. And the thing that you brought up that I thought was a really great point was that Real World has kind of always been like this.
It's always, Real World is always bringing in some racist shit as a way to like stir up the drama in the house.
Yeah.
It's always like, it's either racist or homophobic. It's never been anything else. It's never been like, you're not a responsible person or you spent too much time on the phone. Yeah. Like, but I feel like they always draw out the racism.
Yeah, the racial tension. It's like, especially because of the fact that there's only usually one, maybe two people of color.
One and a half on the show. At best. It's like one black person and then a mixed person.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's always kind of like this like recipe for disaster. I feel like it's usually always, if from a casting standpoint, you have those one and a half people of color. Then you have that one person who's just from like rural America. But yeah, so like it's always those two people and like they're just put at odds. And I mean, the thing that I thought was really interesting about it is like Real World tries to present it as if it's this like grand social experiment.
And it's like, no, you've been doing this for 35 seasons.
Yeah. It seems like it's always the person who is of color who has to like...
Right. The victim of the racism always ends up being provoked and ultimately is like the person who has to go home.
Yeah. Because they've like been pushed to this point.
They've been pushed to the edge. But like the antagonist is just kind of like pushing and pushing and pushing. And MTV gives them like all this leeway to keep pushing. And there is never really any like consequence for that.
Yeah, because of the fact that you are pushed to this point. So you either have to try to educate this person.
Right.
Who is just...
And, like, why should that be your fucking responsibility?
It's not. Like, it's literally not at all. Yeah, if you don't educate this person, you continue to be, like, victimized by that person.
Right.
And then, as with anybody, if you get to the point where you are overwhelmed and you do beat somebody's ass in the way that she did...
Yes.
You have to go home. And then you're looked at, you quote unquote play whatever stereotype that person already had in their mind about you anyway.
But then this season in particular, it was super weird because it was like CJ has to go home. But then it's also like that was the season finale. So like, are you coming back or is that just the end of the show? Like,
yeah. So like, so how did it? Did you see the whole episode?
Yeah.
So, like, she went home and then the episode just ended?
But that, well, no, like, everything kind of ends around that fight and, like, people's reactions to it. You kind of got on the other brother on the show about, like, being on the hoverboard. But he actually does have a moment in the confessional and he's crying because he's just like, I don't understand. Like, he gets CJ and he's like, I felt really helpless in that moment.
What? Why did he feel helpless?
Because it was kind of like, it wasn't personal. Like, he also felt offended, but she also hadn't said anything to him. Everything was being directed at CJ.
I get that, but as, I don't know if you've heard this this album called Lemonade by Beyonce.
I have heard that.
If you're familiar.
Yes.
But, you know, it's like the Malcolm X quote. You know, the most unprotected woman in America is a black woman. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not saying, like, it's his quote-unquote manly job to step in. But as somebody who is also black, you
right.
know.
Like, he, there was moments in the show where, like, he's talking back too. But it honestly seemed, or at least this is the way MTV set it up,
yeah.
it seemed like the other white allies, if you will, the white housemate allies at the show were, like, yeah. having more of her back than, I forget his name.
I think it was Dean.
Dean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dean.
I was going to say Dion.
That would have been what you would think. But no, I think it's Dean.
I was going for Dion. It did get pretty emotional because, like, he was crying. He was like, I really feel for CJ. Like,
yeah.
just being a black person in your own home. And I hate when they say that on Real World. Like, you know, this ain't yeah. your damn house.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I mean, but you do have to sleep there. Like, you don't, I guess, like, what he was trying to say is, like, you don't have anywhere to retreat to.
Right. You don't have anywhere to go.
And again, I hear that and I think he's right. But I also am like, in those situations especially, it makes all the difference in the world to be able to look to somebody who looks like you and is like, what the fuck is going on? Like, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say, like, he didn't say anything. I think in the clip he did say something. But
he says some things.
But, like, he just, like, I don't know. I wasn't feeling it.
You just didn't feel that it was, like, strong enough.
Yeah. Like, okay. You could have, like, that, for me, like, you had an opportunity to step in to help this person who was directly receiving an attack and who was clearly very much overwhelmed by it. Like, she was clearly struggling with the words. She didn't know how to describe how she felt. Like, she was to the brink.
And that's your first introduction to CJ. But I will say that CJ is actually extremely articulate. And, like, she did a really good job kind of throughout the show, because I've seen other clips here and there
yeah.
where, like, when she's faced with challenge, like, she seems really level-headed. Almost like there's no way in hell she would have ever been on reality TV to begin with. Because
yeah.
you know they don't pick rational people to be
true.
On TV. And she seems like too rational of
yeah.
a person to have ever got the job to be on this show. That was kind of another one of my issues with Real World. Like, why would you get somebody so rational?
Yeah.
Just like, I would feel the same way if Mona put a character like CJ on one of the Love and Hip Hop franchises. I would be like, why would you get somebody so sane, so rational, when you know everybody else on this show is a damn fool?
Well, I mean, I feel like she has. Like, I mean, for all intents and purposes, Mendeecees is a relatively rational dude. Mind you, now he's made some irrational decisions, which he's currently paying for.
Wish you can see my face right now.
I'm just saying, like, but he seems to be relatively level-headed in, like, especially in the New York group. Like, who is as level-headed as Mendeecees?
Define level-headed.
Well, okay. So, all right. My, like, experience watching Love and Hip Hop, it's been the last few seasons. Like, he always has had this kind of case looming. But outside of that, he's been, like, real, you know, he's been real, like, on top of his relationship with Yandy. They seem to have this good thing going on. But he seems like he got it mostly together. He seems like a relatively rational dude.
I don't feel like he's actually rational. Like, he's had this case pending. And
yeah.
so I feel like he's intentionally been trying to portray himself in a certain light in efforts to, like, help his sentencing. But it obviously did not help very much.
Yeah. I mean, clearly it didn't help that much. I think he got sentenced, like, what, 8 years?
8 years.
Like that?
Which
is damn. But I hear that. But I also, like, take, for instance, somebody like T.I., right? So, like, T.I., when he initially had his first case, right before Paper Trail, he was definitely on, like, the straight and narrow. But then after that, you really, like, I kind of feel like that's just actually who he kind of became, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But Mendeecees, I feel like that's kind of who he is.
Outside of the law.
Outside of the crimes.
He's a pretty stand-up guy.
I mean, you know, there are a lot of people who have made some poor choices
yeah.
and then use that as the incentive to get your mm-hmm. shit together.
Mm-hmm.
And all I'm saying is, like, since since then, yes, it could have been performance, you know, to try to get like a better sentence. Because this was a long time ago. He came into Love and Hip Hop with the case looming over his head.
Right.
So all I'm saying, they done had,
I don't think it happened that long ago.
Really?
It was a couple of years ago because he manages one of these New York rappers that mm-hmm. I don't really listen to because I live on the West Coast. Was it like Mims or like Red Cafe or
really?
Someone like that?
To be honest, I don't know.
So what he actually has a RICO charge. And what yeah. was said was like they were basically transporting through their tour bus. But like none of the, I can't really imagine any of the two people that I just mentioned touring. So I don't I don't really know.
Yeah, like,
but I know it's like a New York rapper that he yeah. was like working with heavily, and like I don't know how he ended up really taking this charge. I don't know what happened to the rapper. It's like too hood for me, and I need like hood Wikipedia.
Yeah, I'm literally like, looking for it and hoping that there's a like a Wikipedia page that's going to outline it. But
yeah, like this is what I need. I need like a
world star Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it should be.
That's what it should be. Like World Star Wiki. That can just keep you like really quick up to date on the hood shit. I mean, which is what you need sometimes.
Exactly. The story behind the story.
Right.
The story behind the video.
Because I found myself needing this just last week when Gucci Mane got released. Because I was yeah. just like, oh, damn, wait, well, how long was he in there? And I was like, I really wish there was like a Wikipedia with like all the rapper like jail sentences.
Because, I mean, Gucci been in and out.
A long time. Yeah, so it's hard to keep up.
Yeah. Just an outline. You know, I don't need all his business. Just like, you know, what the charge was, what
just
the bid was.
Give me the cliff notes.
Exactly. Short version. But I heard Gucci lost a lot of weight, too, though, by the way.
He did. Like, he's the only person I know who's gone to jail and came out looking better than when he went in. Like, I feel like he got a little younger on the inside.
He uses it wisely, you know.
He's got abs.
I'm proud of Gucci.
Yeah.
You know, he came out. And honestly, real talk, Gucci, I mean, we've gone way off topic. But Gucci came out, like, swinging, too. Like, he got the Kanye track. He had another track with Drake.
Yeah, like, he pushed out his own track. I mean, the mixtape / album is probably going to be an iTunes exclusive release next Friday.
Like, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised either.
He was
and
ready.
I would also buy it.
Exactly. My money is saved. Saved and ready, sir. Whenever you're ready, I'm here. But go on. Anyway, so I think Mendeecez is
you
a
think
rational
he's,
person.
You think he's rational?
Yeah. Okay. Even, I mean, Yandy seems more delusional. That like she seems kind of rational in some.
I feel like she's rational.
No, but
she started
also
out being the rational person on the show.
Yes, but then also like her response to some of the people who are not rational makes me feel like they're talking like they talk past each other. You know what I'm saying? Like she'll
yeah.
be real calm, and the other person is like, who's the girl she recently had beef with?
Ra. Who's
yeah.
pointless, but yeah. continue.
Exactly.
I don't know what her point is on the show.
She's trying.
She's got a new business every season.
Yeah. She's making the rap dresses or something like that, right?
Really?
I think so, yeah.
But, next season, she'll be making jewelry.
Hey, whatever your hustle is, you know, you got.
It's going to be bundles after that. Like, okay.
Like, they would get into it, and Ra is like, I'm trying to fight. And Yandy's just like, I don't understand why we're upset with each other.
Yeah.
And
that is her reaction, though.
Look, I understand being rational, but there's a level of, like, you can acknowledge when someone is upset with you. She's just like, I'm just so confused by what's going on right now.
Right,
and, like, to me, that's kind of slightly delusional. But the Mendeecez Yandy team is the
Yandy-sees,
most rational.
As I like to call them.
This is all should also be in World Star Wiki.
Yandy-sees is their couple name.
Exactly. But yeah, like, I think they're relatively rational people. I would agree. The vast majority of people on reality TV are not rational.
They're
like at all.
The reality TV casting director's job is to find the most insane human.
Yeah.
Who speaks the language in which you shoot the show that you could possibly find.
Yeah. And who you can also manipulate who to you do can, the most ridiculous shit.
So in college, my psychology professor, he was consulted to do like reality TV work. And as for the kids in my department, we're media kids. So we were like really
into
into it. And we had all these questions like, well, what does it mean? Like, what do you do?
Yeah.
What, should I change my major to psychology?
I know, right?
So I can, like,
is this the way in?
Is this, yeah, like, what is it? And he, one day, because he was always, like, really vague about it. He had a few celebrity clients, but he would always be, like, really vague about what he did outside of being a professor. And so one day, he sat us down and, like, really talked to us and was just like, you know, when you're on reality shows, when it's in the confessional, like, people aren't just offering up that information. So I'm the person off screen phrasing questions a certain way to get answers out of them. And I was just like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I thought they just walked into a room and just started talking like that. Like, I had no idea, like, it was set up.
Well, I knew, like, I knew from, there are, like, certain, I don't know if it's Real World or, like, other shows where they'll actually play the question. Like, they'll play the question and then they'll answer.
Oh.
For the longest time, I did think, I agree. I was like, oh, man, these people are so expressive.
Yeah, they just ready. They just go in there and it's like, how you, like, be. And
just
especially on, like, the more Black-focused reality shows, so witty. I'm just like, how are you just coming up with these lines so quickly?
Well, I feel like it's scripted now. I feel like they're,
it's
like,
definitely scripted. Yeah.
But back in the day, even still, like, you know, there was some, it's mad quotables. So, sorry to interrupt, but we're going to take a quick break. Now that we've had that sponsored break, let's get back to the show. That's deep. That's, how do you, again, I mean, should I have majored in psychology?
Right.
Like, is that the way to get on, like, the Mona track?
Right, because she's got some gold. Mona Scott Young is definitely, like, running the reality show game. Like, Real World, I didn't even really know that was still a thing.
I still watch a challenge.
Okay.
But I haven't watched Real World since Explosion. Did you hear about that one?
No, what's that?
Okay, so, I mean, this shit was wild. I would have walked off the show. But, so, Real World Explosion, maybe 2 years ago? This was like, yeah, I think it was like maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And they had the 7 people come into the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they stayed for a month. And then after a month, they came home one day and all of their exes were moving into the house.
Bye.
So,
bye.
The plot twist was that for the rest of the season, they had to live with their most antagonistic ex. And some of these people had new relationships. Like, some of these people had, like, moved on. But it was like whoever, they went and found whoever that ex was that, you know, you just had it out with.
No.
And they brought them on the show. It was amazing.
No. Because I've never been to jail and I don't plan on it. But you do that to me and then I will for sure be arrested.
Yeah. Nobody left, too. That's the thing. I would have had to be like, nah. Like, I mean, it was masterful how they did that shit.
No thanks.
It was a fight every day. And then it was different, like, it was like team ups. Like, so some of the exes made friends with each other and they were like tag team. It was great. But yes, our overall point before we went on this, like, amazing
tangent.
Yeah, tangent. Was that, like, basically they set these people up for failure. Like, if you are a person of color, like, it is against any sort of, like, self-preservation instinct to go on a reality show where you are going to be, like, one of only 2 other people of color.
Right.
Because they're about to fuck with you. The thing that I was kind of curious about, has there ever been a safe time? Or is the safe time now, but just only Black shows?
So, I think that really within, like, the last 10, 15 years, reality shows really even became a thing. Before, you might have said reality show and the only thing that would have came to mind is like a Real World, Road Rules.
Or like a Survivor or something. Yeah.
Or like a Survivor, The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Like that's...
For most people, yeah.
That's
like,
pretty much it. Now, we have so many different reality shows. Like every network has a reality show. And on top of that, we kind of have now seen people who are essentially either getting famous, earning a second wind of fame, or just all out coming up as a result of being on a reality show. So we have like Flavor Flav, who was essentially living in obscurity somewhere.
He was done. He was done.
He was cooked.
Yeah.
And they found him. They brought him out. And Flavor Love took off so much that it had 3 you know, three seasons.
Yeah. Well, even before Flavor of Love, Surreal Life.
And then on top of that, he had the show with just him and Brigitte. You know, he was able to really catapult himself kind of back into the spotlight. We have New York, who is all time probably the greatest reality television star to have ever existed thus far.
Tactician of the game.
Tiffany New York Pollard is hands down like my favorite reality TV person, but she was on Flavor of Love, got her own spinoff.
Yeah.
Has since been on, is that Big Brother?
Celebrity Big Brother.
And yeah. She's been on a couple of other reality shows too.
Not too much, not to
make it seem like she can only get her checks from reality TV. But
I mean, it's mostly reality.
But she's not what's her name from she was on both Real World and Road Rules, Anissa, I think.
I feel
like she only gets her checks from reality TV.
There's no club hosting. Yeah,
there's
yeah,
nothing.
There's no waist trainers.
Right.
Like
New York, I feel like she spreads her reality TV stints out enough. So like you could be like, oh, I wonder what New York's been doing. I haven't seen her on my TV for like the past 3 years.
Yeah.
And then like she'll come up, do a show or something.
Something has been cooking. She's diversified.
Right.
Yeah.
Wu-Tang Financial.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I feel like now since you see these people who like get fame, like Ray J. What? Huh?
I mean, Ray J is pretty skilled though. I mean, you got to admit.
But he got that. I feel like he just kind of severely elevated himself through reality TV.
Yeah.
Like before then, it was just, Brandy's brother, whatever. Now it's like.
Well, I mean, there was something in between. You know what I'm saying? Like,
there was that tape.
Exactly. There was a significant moment.
But also, like the Kardashians, who knew this family was going to just, like, blow up and take over our entire everything? Like, we always have to hear a Kardashian story now. Whereas before, like, you probably would have never really heard about any type of family with money because people with money don't like talking about themselves because they like to keep their money.
Not just talking about this, like filming your entire life.
Yeah, they're not going to go for that. And really this whole cinema verite style that we are doing, all these reality TV shows in now is just really getting these up close and personal glimpses into like people's lives. But it's kind of like a reverse effect because people aren't really being themselves. I think I got this when Real Housewives of Atlanta came out because I was living in Atlanta at the time, going to school, and like I would occasionally see some of these people. So it's just like, they don't really have kind of things that
all
they,
this stuff,
like they flaunt on TV.
Well, I mean, I think Real Housewives of Atlanta now they do. But I would agree. In the beginning, they didn't.
Right. Do they? Because she by, you know, Chateau Charest by She by Charest.
Yeah. But Charest is a unique case because they, like, Charest got kicked off for a little while. So she had just really started getting the checks.
And then she got
cut off. I think overall, I agree with your point. Like, I think reality TV definitely at this point makes the people into what they are trying to portray.
But then also, I feel like the people manipulate reality TV, too.
Well, they want that star to be bigger.
Yeah, they want to shine, but it's hard to tell, like, if you're watching, like, if they're being played or if we're being played, like, by them. It's always hard to tell what's going on.
I mean, I won't lie, I can't tell. I think it's going in all different ways. Like, I mean, I think obviously the people on the show have their own agenda. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like, they're fighting for screen time or whatever, popularity, and trying to make their line of luxury bedding or like luxury
candles.
Waist trainers, candles, pop off. But then the people on the show, like the producers, are trying to make it into something crazy too. But then if you also look at it, people who are watching also want very specific things from all those people as well.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think everybody has their own agenda. And I think it's a relatively, like, harmonious balance. As harmonious as it can be with a Mona Scott show, you know what I'm saying? Or, like, a Bravo show.
Yeah, Mona Scott and Bravo are, like, the most kind of, like, we have no regards for anyone's humanity. We will try you to the end.
Yeah, everything.
They're the most ridiculous, but I feel like.
But they're also the best shows.
They are the best shows. I don't watch any other reality show. I'll only watch it if it's like a Mona Scott production or a Bravo production. I don't really watch anything else.
See, I won't lie. I do branch out a little bit. Some of the other VH1 stuff is pretty amazing, and even like. I'm a fan of the medium, you know, like of the platform, like the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and mind you, I agree. Mona Scott and Bravo are the best, but there are some standouts.
Would be a standout?
I think Dating Naked is an exceptional show.
Dating Naked is a show that I do not understand.
Well, it doesn't make sense.
None whatsoever.
Like, I will concede that. The premise
none whatsoever.
Is absolutely insane.
So, ridiculous.
Like, if you don't know, Dating Naked is a reality TV show. The premise is they bring two people into a house naked, and they make them go on a date or a few dates and see if they fall in love.
But they're naked the entire time. And
yes. All the actual dates, everybody's ass naked.
Naked.
Everything. I mean, it's blurred. There's
which makes it ridiculous. Like, why would you have this whole show where you had to blur everything out?
It seems like a lot of work in post.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Then after they go on a few dates, they then start bringing like this rotating cast of naked people in
right?
to see if they gel, and you can like stay for like a period of time if the person likes you.
It is a weird setup.
It's a weird setup, but it kind of works. There's the people who like you come on and like they see the person like, you know, I'm coming, I'm dating you, and like you have the people who like can't get over the fact that they're naked and they're like extremely self-conscious, as anybody would be. But then the person who's been there the whole time, they're like, yeah, I mean, I'm out here. Like, this is me. This is who I am. I'm over it. So, like, there's always that weird interplay. And then you have the people who are like, yeah, whatever, I'm with it. And, like, they go with it. You know, they, like, go with the premise. And for me, like, that is really, it's really fascinating to think about, like, what type of person do you think you would be? You know? Like, I know, I'll be straight. I'm the person who, like, I'm going to be, the first, like, 5 minutes, I'm going to be like, yo, this is mad weird. This is really weird. This is really strange. But then I would like to think that I could, like, remove myself from the situation enough to, like, ignore, like, my nakedness and the other person's nakedness and find out who they really are.
No. Okay. I would not be doing that. But it's interesting that you've given it so much thought that you would like for that to happen.
I mean,
it's ambitious.
I wouldn't necessarily like for that to happen,
but you can see that.
I could see that happening. I'm open to the possibility, but yeah, I think Day Naked is pretty good. I like the like pawn shop shows.
I like those sometimes.
Those are pretty good,
but I don't think they're better than anything else.
I would agree. Hands down, I think Mona is probably the king.
Like, I would have to, I watch those type of shows, like, when I'm, like, really bored.
Yeah.
And I don't have anything else to watch.
But, like, I mean, also, like, HGTV, I'm super into as well. Like, Property Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
House Hunters. Tiny House Hunters.
Yeah, I like watching those shows because I like having my dreams deferred.
Right? It's the best mix of that. And, well, at least for Carla and I, it's like, oh, my relationship's better than their relationship. Like,
yeah, okay. I can see that.
Like, because you'll see these people and, like, you're jealous because, like, damn, they're like, oh, we're looking for this, you know, $650,000 to $700,000 house in this home. And we can go up $100,000 if we're flexible, depending upon renovations.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, damn, fuck them. I want a house like that. That sounds amazing. And then I realize that their relationship is trash.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to break up soon.
There's some bickering happening.
It's a little too much bickering. You know, this person really wants this open concept. This, like, the dude is only focused on a barbecue.
Right.
You know, like, your priorities ain't in line.
Can't get it together.
And how are you going to build a home?
The one house reality show that I did really like, I can't remember what it's called, but it's basically three people, like, they go into each other's house and basically, like, how it's going to be redecorated, the one room or whatever.
Not wife swap, but like it's like a house.
It's like house swap kind of thing.
Yeah.
That was always really interesting. It was always meant to be some shit.
I would never let anybody do that.
Right?
Like, right. That just seems crazy.
It doesn't seem like a good idea. The other one I like is super shady, is the three weddings, where basically there's three brides who mm-hmm. get married, and they invite these other two people that they don't know to their wedding.
Wow.
And they rate the wedding for, like, the the dress, the food, the atmosphere.
That's
it's
so
like
fucked
you
up.
You rate it on four things, and whoever wins get like this dream honeymoon vacation.
Damn.
But they scored in a way to where you can't really be fucked up to them and just be like, oh yeah, like I'm giving them all one so yeah. I can win or something like that. They
do it in a way where you have to be honest.
Yeah, you have to be like, I forget what it is that they don't count, but it's something that gets dropped so that everyone ends up with like an equal,
gotcha,
equal playing field. But I love that show. It's always shady because they always making really shady ass comments like, well, yeah. I don't know, like, the second dress reveal was okay, but I just think that when you get married, you should stay in your one wedding dress, and that way people have more time to see you, and it's always something, like, really small and petty that's just like, so because of that, I'm going to give it a 6.
Yeah. Feels like a 5 to me.
Yeah.
So this brings up something that you were saying, and we didn't actually have a chance to talk about. What reality show would you create?
Yes.
And I am
really
excited.
Thank you. I've been waiting my whole life for this question.
So what reality show would you create if you were the new Mona Scott?
Okay, well, first things first, I would be signing Gucci Mane up in
True.
A contract. I need something.
That's a must.
I don't know what it's going to be, but I need some cameras following him.
Yeah, like, accurate.
Off top. I also have this idea for a reality show where it's me and Drake. We're best friends.
And okay. All right.
And I'm like constantly trying to get him out of his fuckboy ways.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, remember when Chili had that reality show?
Yeah.
And like her homegirl was always trying to like help her like date the right person or whatever. That's basically me. And then Drake,
you're the homegirl.
I'm the homegirl, and Drake is Chili.
Okay.
And the episodes are like, okay, Drake, like, this is why you can't stop saving voicemails and, like, using them in tracks later on. This is why you don't do this. This is why you don't even care that she's out hanging out with some friends you never seen before, because why are y'all in her business? You know, like, I'm just like,
you just got it. So you
I'm breaking
him
down into becoming less of a fuckboy and more of a real man.
So you're like a life coach.
Kind of.
Or like a relationship coach.
Yes. Kind of like a life coach / relationship coach with Drake. And I managed to work with him through all of his issues in the first season. The second season is Drake applying the knowledge that I've given him. And he tries to set me up on dates with his friends.
Oh, wait. how do we get to you being the recipient of all this knowledge?
Right. So like we go through that. I try to set Drake up. I think the season finale is like me setting Drake up with this perfect woman.
Okay.
And then they get a spinoff, and it's just Drake and the girlfriend.
Okay.
And then the second season, you have a spinoff too.
Cause
the second season is Drake trying to hook me up.
Gotcha.
Yes. I've thought this whole thing out. If anybody wants to. I've talked about this on our show before, too. Like, we should totally do this. I also think that we should have a reality show where, so basically, it's Chopped.
Okay. Excellent show.
But just black grandmothers.
Okay. Hey. Yo, real talk, it would be a fight every week. It's either a fight or just some, like, Shay, oh, you put sugar in your grits?
Yes.
Like.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
We don't do that where I come from.
Yes. Yes. That's the entire show.
I actually would watch
that. I would watch that.
Yeah.
Like, ad nauseum,
binge it.
I would watch that.
Yeah.
So I think those are like my top three. I would say those are like my top three reality shows that don't exist, but like need to exist.
Okay. I should have went first. You set the bar high.
The Chopped Black Grandmother.
Chopped Black Grandmothers is like.
Like, we need to campaign because that needs to be a thing.
Like, God, like, damn. I mean, honestly, who do we send this to? How do we get to Mona?
I don't know.
How do we get to Mona? Mona needs to know.
Because
like,
she doesn't have any cooking shows, so she can do this.
You got to expand. You know, everything doesn't have to follow that same formula. Or maybe we should. Maybe we reach out to Shani. You know, Basketball Wives ain't what it used to be. I mean, just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. No shade.
No.
But yeah. Shani, come.
You're onto something there.
Come holler at Lola. Like, straight up.
Yeah.
I would like to think because I was present when you presented this idea, you know.
You
maybe I
can
get
like
a give me a producer credit. That's
yeah.
all. That's all I need. I don't need EP credit. You know,
producer credit.
Producer credit is cool.
Okay, you
know? I got a mouth to feed. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
So, if I had to create a reality show that doesn't exist, for me the easiest one is we need a black Dating Naked.
Oh my God.
So Dating Naked, which is still an excellent show, but they only have like I mean. Same as any reality TV show.
It's like white people.
Yeah, it's all white people. It's like 1-2 black people tops. And they bring in like 2 or 3 people every... They go on 2 dates every week.
Right.
It's like really, really low percentage of black people. And the black folks are always like... It's always this really like subconscious racism where the folks are like, I don't know. We just didn't have a personality fit, you know? Or they make like weird ass comments like... Oh, you know, she's got a great body. You know, I really love that voluptuous body. But, and it's like, and then they say some other, like, really random shit.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's like.
It's like a hard pass.
Yeah, I mean, it's fucked up. But.
Has there ever been one with a black couple?
People? No.
You haven't
Not
seen
that
it
I've
yet.
Seen.
I haven't seen it either.
Yeah.
And I don't watch the show to know. I've seen, like, a few episodes here and there. But I've never seen a black couple there.
Well, it's mostly because black people never get chosen as the main dating show person. You know what
also,
I'm saying?
Also, black people would never choose to date naked.
Well, I don't know. I would like to hope. I mean, I clearly don't want to date naked. But I would like to hope, just if nothing else for my show premise to work, that it would be some black folks who would do it. And I would want to do it all, like, literally all black people.
Okay.
And, like, just see what happens. I think it would be real.
I would watch it just to see what happens.
Imagine having a Duquan, even like a Jacinia, you know, on the show.
Jacinia?
You never heard of Jacinia?
I've never heard of that.
Oh, my God.
So many names I've never heard of. I just recently heard of what I thought was Eleanor, but it turned out to be a Eleanor.
Yo, that's next level. That's next level.
I mean,
that's,
it read Eleanor to me, so that's what I said.
You know, I'm really big on E names. Like, a lot of my family all have E names. Like,
okay.
It's like Eric. Obviously, my kid's name is Eve, you know. So, Ella, how, say that again?
Eleanor.
Eleanor.
Eleanor. Yeah. Eleanor. Like, something.
That's wonderful. That might be number 2. I'm going to have to call Carla, tell her to watch out. But yeah, so Dating Naked, all black.
Okay.
Maybe I'm not. I mean, I'm not the most creative person in the world. I want black versions of all the shows that I do love. Like a House Hunters, it's always like one person, one black couple mm-hmm. during the whole season. Or you get like, we've gotten lucky and it's been like a couple like single mothers who they'll like highlight.
Oh, okay.
Which is cool. But I want black people buying all manner of houses. Like I want to see somebody, all right, I'm ready.
Okay, I'm ready for this.
Black celebrity house hunters.
Okay.
So, like, okay. I want to see Diddy buy a house. I want to see, I want to see Beyonce buy a house. Wouldn't you love to see Beyonce and Jay-Z touring 3 houses and what they have to choose to make their decision on the home?
Like, right.
Maybe they have Blue in there as well. And she's like, oh, I want a playground. And Beyonce's like, I want a recording studio in the house or something like that.
Right. Okay.
I would even want to see like Ron Isley. I want to see Ron Isley choose a house.
A house? Is his money situation situated?
I mean, I would like to think that the royalties from... You know, the Isley Brothers albums, or at least
No. Because you know he went to jail for the tax thing.
What?
You didn't know Ron Isley was in jail?
I did not know Ron. He's in jail now?
No. He went.
When?
This was like a couple years ago, and he had to go to jail for tax evasion.
This is...
And he had just had that baby with a girl from JS.
From JS, yeah. I mean, I didn't realize he went to jail. That's deep.
Yeah.
Dang.
But I would like to see him buy a house.
If nothing else, just to like come back from a bad time.
Right. Because it would be, it'd honestly be like pre-Cribs.
Yeah.
So it's like, you
starting
know.
Over, you know. It's just...
crib starting over.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, okay.
I think those are the only two I got. But I think those are two solid choices, you know?
I would have to agree. I'm a little on the fence about dating naked anyway, but
I'm telling you.
I feel like we would, the black people are roasting people.
Yeah.
So I just,
I mean,
I feel like it would always start off with like at least a 5-minute roast session. Like,
is that a drawback or a benefit though?
I don't know. I don't know.
I personally think that's a benefit. You know, as long as I'm not the person on the show, I think it would be
as long as you're not roasting me.
Exactly. You know, I think that's okay. We could be body positive too.
I mean, I think we could, but like we would still roast. I feel like we would still have to roast some people.
I say give it a shot. Give it 3 episodes. Give Black Dating Naked 3 episodes. And I'm telling you, you'll be hooked.
Okay. I'll look out for this.
It's coming. Next
no
next
pun
fall.
Intended. All right. And that's my time, folks.
Exactly. But yeah, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having
me. If I'm in the Bay, I'm going to be like, yo, what's good?
Holler at me for sure.
Show me where to get a good
meal. If
you're
in the Bay, come through.
Yeah. Tell Babs I said congratulations. That's out, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right. she's 6 months.
All right. Well, congratulations to her. I know that life well.
Yeah.
It's lit. Yeah. But it's a blessing. You know?
We're doing baby shower planning currently. We're early.
Yeah.
But we've been planning.
Hey, it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. As you know, always please leave us a review on iTunes. Shit, leave Mm-hmm girl.
You gotta girl. Say
it. You gotta put a little more spice.
You don't have to say it like an academic. It's literally like mm-hmm girl.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm not often in the scenario where I'm like mm-hmm girl. So, you know, it's a little more intentional when I approach it. But yes, go leave both of us bomb ass 5-star reviews.
Yes. Especially because we're 5-star chicks. It's me and my cousin, co-host Babs, and we are really funny. Babs does the best ad-libs in the world.
Yes.
So check us out.
Yeah. And we'll be back soon. And Brittany will be back as well.
Yes.
So
thank you, Brittany, for letting me sit in on your show.
We'll see you soon. Bye.